This podcast is intended for investment professional use only. The information in this podcast is provided for educational purposes only and should not be construed as a recommendation or investment advice. This information is not individualized and is not intended to serve as the primary or sole basis for investment decisions, as there may be other factors to consider.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Thinking Outside the Portfolio. I'm Mike Scarciotti, and this is our quarterly conversation on market updates with Fidelity's Klaus Tewilt. Hi, Klaus. Great to have you back.
Hi, Mike. Nice to be back.
So, Klaus, we usually start with an update on where we see the economic cycle and what's going on in the broader markets. Feels like same positioning in terms of the economic outlook. What's changed in your outlook in terms of recession or not recession, given a lot of this talk of resiliency that we're hearing in the media?
Yes, Mike, that's a great question. Actually, I have to say that nothing much has changed. We are still in the same position from an economic perspective, and I'm still in the same position from my opinion. We are likely to go into recession here, recognizing though that the economy is not in a recession right now, but the way I sort of feel the economy has operated over the last two or three quarters, that it has weakened, but it has weakened less than the market expects. That weakening has been greeted by the surprise that the economy has surprised on the upside, but the upside is really that it has weakened as much as the market expected.
So you're really alluding, close to the lags that come with the actions that the Fed takes and the time it takes them to impact the actual economy.
Yeah, that's right. And I mean, if you sort of think about sort of this economy right now, we have mortgage rates between 7 and 8%. We have small business interest rates around 10. We have credit card interest rates around 22. And our government finances itself at the high fours. These are very, very high interest rates compared to the last 10 years. And interest rates have risen very rapidly over the last 18 months. The economy that is economy that we have right now is an economy that has formed itself during a period of very, very low interest rates. And so we are going through a transition here. And from a low interest rate environment to sort of a more normal interest rate environment, let's describe it for the moment like this. And what I've experienced in the past is if you change the interest rate environment of an economy significantly in very, very short time to the worst, that normally leads to something breaks. That break is sort of part of the adjustment process, if you will. And that break is normally what causes a recession here. And so I'm in that camp that given sort of the increase everywhere in interest rates, that it's likely that the economy will slow down to a level that would in the past have been called a recession.
Yeah, even with the data dependency and focus of the Fed, it's just difficult for them to time that perfectly right, which is why typically recession follows this type of a cycle.
Yeah, I mean, these tools that the Fed has regarding its monetary policies, they are just not really for fine-tuning. I mean, sort of if they shift the interest rates by 20, 50, or even 100 basis points, it takes a while to get actually transmission into the real economy. And so for that reason alone, I think the Fed cannot necessarily stop this. But I'm glad you mentioned that because one of the factors that we haven't talked about that is contributing to this is the inflation data. In the past, if you had sort of what I think is sort of apparent weaknesses sort of on the horizon of the economy, seeing in temp hiring, seeing in the quit rate, what I just mentioned, and seeing how new orders are slowing down, the manufacturing sector is already in recession, normally the Fed would react and would give guidance and maybe even cut rates. But they can't because the inflation is still higher than the Fed wants it to be. And if I sort of look at our economic team and what their forecast is for the rest of the year, they believe that inflation is likely to be between 3.5% and 4%. The market thinks it's more around 3% or slightly below that. So we think from that perspective, we might have in store some negative surprises on that front as well. And sort of the easiest way to sort of think about sort of why we think inflation might be a little bit higher than the market thinks and the Fed thinks, and I'm not quite sure why everybody is not looking at this, but if you think back last summer, you entered oil prices very, very high and they fell over the summer. And so you had very, very deflationary forces. So oil prices this summer, it's exactly the opposite. We entered the summer below 70 and we are in the high 80s right now. And so it's a significant change in the inflation environment and oil and energy costs impact everything. And then you have service wages that are still higher than 3%. You have the rent equivalent numbers still higher than 3%. And so all of this together leads us to believe that we're probably a little bit higher than the market expects. The Fed's hands are a little bit tied here to really react to it in the way they would normally do.
As practitioners, we like to look to history to try to give us an indication of what's happening in the past. And you've said in past podcasts that the last two recessions really weren't kind of normal recessions. What do you see with this upcoming potential recession? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, that's exactly right, Mike. Thank you for bringing this up. The last two were 100-year storms. One was a global pandemic, one was a global financial crisis, and I'm hoping that none of us has to go through a global pandemic again or a recession that was as deep as the one we had in 08. And if you go sort of back in history and look at sort of the recessions that we used to have, the normal garden variety recessions, you had a drop in GDP between 0.4 in the early 2000s. And if you go further back, you had a drop of around 1.5 and barely over two in the 90s and late 80s. And so that's not that big of a change in GDP. It's more like a speed bump. You normally have unemployment rate rise by 2.5%. You have housing starts dropping, but sort of the normal kind of recession that I'm looking for is going to be fairly mild. And I would argue that most of us are probably not going to feel it even. I'm joking. I'm speaking to our desk every Wednesday and sort of have sort of a conversation with them about what's going on. And so these people are just coming from university. They're in their mid-20s. And I joke to them and say, if we finally go into recession, you'll be very disappointed because we've been talking about this for 18 months. And when it finally happens, you will all say, oh my God, this is it. This is what we are waiting for. And so I think it's not going to be that big of a deal, but it's going to have some impact, I believe, on the markets, or it might have some impact on the markets, and it warrants some caution.
And it's part of the normal cycle. It's expected in economic theory. And
yes, exactly. I mean, we have an economic cycle that is normally 7 to 8 years long, and sort of the recession has certain cleansing values, if you will. And the cleansing value that it might have here is that we might get inflation under control. And if we get inflation under control, the Fed is able to lower rates. And if the Fed is able to lower rates, then the economy after that should be coming out stronger than it is right now out of this. And equity returns have been fairly strong in the early cycle. So I don't think it's time to really have despair here or get overly defensive. But I think it warrants a little bit of caution because the market might not fully appreciate that we go into a recession.
Great. So let's go there, because that's the next question I wanted to ask you was, what does that mean for investing and how do you think about positioning the portfolio?
So I would be cautious here. I would probably underweight equities. I would consider that, but I wouldn't overdo it. And there are a couple of reasons for it. One is the most obvious one, that I could be wrong. It wouldn't be the first time that the bulls are right, that we go into a soft landing. That's one. Number two is we had a significant correction already. In October, we were down of last year, we were down about 22-23%. That's sort of the average drop that you normally experience during a recession. So to a certain extent, you could argue that it might be priced in already. The third thing that I would mention is that the timing is very, very difficult. And if you sort of think about it, if you get overly defensive, you have to make two decisions that are right. One, you have to get out at the right time, and then you have to get back into the market at the right time. And that is notoriously difficult. So I would be probably underweight equities, and we might get to that later, and probably play my defense more on the fixed income side. But I wouldn't overdo it based on sort of the things that I just mentioned.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so let's dive into that. You know, you mentioned slight underweight to equities, but, you know, kind of sticking to the overall big picture strategic asset allocation, the client's plans, similar to what we talked about last time. But when you get into equities specifically, is there any areas that you find more or less appealing?
Yeah, I mean, the one area that I feel reasonably good about sort of what might happen during a recession is sort of the large cap growth sector in the U.S. For the most part, and I'm generalizing here, but you might get the idea, these companies are the most innovative companies that we have. They have the best business models. They have very, very, very good cash flow. They have very dominant positions in their respective field. And so that's all good. But what I really like about them is that they sort of went through their recession already. If you think back to, let's call them the Magnificent Seven, they had a very, very tough 2022. To me, they experienced their recession already because when they went through this recession, those CEOs reacted by cutting a lot of costs and a lot of them had layoffs. So I think a lot of these companies have already sort of gone through their recession in their minds. They have readjusted their cost structure already to a much tougher environment, which would sort of help them if we actually go into recession, but it would also allow them to grow profits normally a lot quicker if we have a soft landing. So that's an area that I feel probably as a defensive position on the equity side, probably the most comfortable with.
Yeah, and we a lot of research that Fidelity has done that looks at some of the factors that you mentioned and focuses on quality. That quality factor does well both in late cycle and in recession, so it seems to make sense there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Why don't we turn to fixed income? Where are you seeing opportunities there? And, you know, frankly, I think one of the largest questions we're getting is how do you think about investing within the fixed income sector, given inverted yield curve, higher rates at the shorter end, high yields on money markets? How do you think about that in terms of the overall portfolio?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's a very controversial and difficult question. Let me go back. This is all predicated on sort of my belief that we go into a recession or that a recession is the most likely scenario from here. And fixed income, if you sort of set it up the right way in this kind of environment, could be a really good diversifier for everybody's portfolio. It could help you to reduce the risk of the overall portfolio. If you do it right, it could even have some positive returns as well. And so what I would consider here is, and I know, and we all know this from our research, that there's a lot of money right now in money market accounts in the trillions, to take some of that money and sort of consider allocating this to intermediate investment grade bonds. And the reason for that is sort of multiple here. So the first one is, look, I don't know when rates are going to peak, but I just know that the entry points that we have right now with the yield you're getting is the highest it was over the last 15 years. And that we are probably closer to the top in yields than to the bottom in yields. I don't think if we go into recession, it's that far off. So this is sort of a time where I think you should consider sort of locking in for your clients these high interest rates for some time and not be sort of stuck in money market accounts where you have a huge reinvestment risk because interest rates might drop there if we actually go into recession. And coming back to sort of that recession outcome, if we go into recession, what you would also historically have gotten through an intermediate investment grade bond holding would be diversification from your equity holdings. And so a lower volatility in your portfolio, but also the possibility to get some additional returns beyond the coupon in the increase of the value of the bonds because interest rates are falling. Because that's normally what happens, that interest rates are falling during recession. And so there is some upside that if we go into recession, that interest rates sort of will fall not only in the short end, but also in the intermediate end as well. And sort of that, in addition to this nice yields, you get some positive returns in the increase of the value of the bonds as well. And that's really the whole thesis behind this. It's a great diversifier. You can lock in some interest rates and you have the opportunity to bank in some increases in the value of the bonds as well here.
Yeah, that's great. And that reinvestment risk is something I know we've been talking a lot with clients about in money markets. And you know, also just the fact that in addition to the diversification benefit you mentioned, you know, with yields starting at 4.5%, you know, around the 10-year, you also have that nice coupon that protects against you know, any kind of down capital appreciation.
Yeah, Mike, and we have done some research on this question as well. When do you go long? Because everybody sort of, we have been all this business for a while, I just assume, given the profile of the people who listen to this, we know that all at some point we should take some money out of the short term into sort of locking in these interest rates. And sort of we have done some research on sort of when should you do that. And sort of we have looked at the point of what if you went out of money market into intermediate investment grade bonds right after the day the Fed was done hiking rates. Obviously, you only knew in the sort of later on if the Fed was actually done raising rates or not. But just going back sort of historically, and if you look back historically, if you did this in the last 7 out of 8 times, 12 months later, you would have made a greater return going long than staying in money market accounts. And the only time it didn't work was in 79. In my opinion, a very, very different environment. So I think the Fed is done. I don't know that for sure, but I think the Fed is done and pausing here. So I think sort of we are in the vicinity of the high in interest rates on the long end, I believe. And so I think it's time maybe in baby steps to sort of gradually, in a very disciplined way, cost average yourself into investment-grade bond position, if you think that makes sense to your client's portfolio.
All right, final thoughts. What might be indicators that the flashing that the recession is coming in upon us?
Yeah, that has sort of come up a lot because obviously we've been talking about this recession for quite a while. The best indicator, believe it or not, is actually the yield curve. And sort of we all know that way in advance of a recession, the yield curve inverts. And so the inversion is that obviously sort of short-term rates are higher than long-term rates. But what is historically also has happened is that just before the recession happened, the yield curve steepens again. That has happened in the last 4 or 5 recessions. And the reason for that is that the bond market all of a sudden realizes that the Fed has made a mistake. It has raised interest rates too high. And it knows that the Fed has to lower rates going forward, and it sort of signals very, very quickly by the steepening of the yield curve that this is sort of likely ahead of it. So that's what I would look at. Interestingly enough, you can see already that the yield curve has steepened a little bit. It's still inverted, but the steepness has been reduced significantly over the last couple of weeks. And so maybe the bond market is moving in that direction as well. And that's the area that I would watch.
Well, I just wanted to mention you had alluded to some thought leadership. That's all available on our website, i.fidelity.com, so please check that out. As always, Klaus, thank you for your insights, and thank you to all of our listeners. I'm Mike Scarciotti. Please join me for more episodes of Thinking Outside the Portfolio.
For investment professional use only, information provided in this podcast is for informational and educational purposes only and is not a recommendation to take any particular action or any action at all, nor an offer or solicitation to buy or sell any securities or services presented. It is not investment advice. Fidelity does not provide legal or tax advice. Before making any investment decisions, you should consult with your own professional advisors and take into account all the particular facts and circumstances of your individual situation. Fidelity and its representatives may have a conflict of interest in the products and services mentioned in these materials because they have a financial interest in them and receive compensation directly or indirectly in connection with the management, distribution, and/or servicing of these products or services, including Fidelity funds, certain third-party funds and products, and certain investment services. Information presented herein is for illustrative purposes only and is not a recommendation or an offer or a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Views expressed are as of October 2023.
based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. The opinions provided are those of the speakers and not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Nothing in this content should be considered as legal or tax advice, and you're encouraged to consult your own lawyer, accountant, or other advisor before making any financial decisions. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure profit or guarantee against loss. Stock markets, especially foreign markets, are volatile and can decline significantly in response to adverse issuer, political, regulatory, market, or economic developments. Foreign securities are subject to interest rate, currency exchange rate, economic, and political risks, all of which are magnified in emerging markets. The risks are particularly significant for funds that focus on a single country or region. In general, the bond market is volatile, and fixed income securities carry interest rate risk. As interest rates rise, bond prices usually fall, and vice versa. This effect is usually more pronounced for longer-term securities. Fixed income securities also carry inflation, credit, and default risks for both issuers and counterparties. The commodities industry can be significantly affected by commodity prices, world events, import controls, worldwide competition, government regulations, and economic conditions. Because of its narrow focus, sector investing tends to be more volatile than diversifying across many sectors and companies.
Fidelity Investments provides investment products through Fidelity Distributors Company, LLC, clearing custody or other brokerage services through National Financial Services, LLC, or Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, members NYSE, SIPC. Reference number 11124.97.1.0.